This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I should be on because this new technology is fantastic. I've never spoken with one of those things on my head before, but it leaves your hands free to do what you want to do. And I must have a bit of Italian in me, I think, like that Frank over there. When I talk, I like my hands to go. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, this morning I would just like to say how blessed we are to be here today. Because no matter what happens, whether it's an exodus, God always leaves some of his faithful behind. So we must be the faithful ones because we're here. And everybody else has disappeared. And bless them all. Bless them all. I was rather taken with Matthew's, the word that Matthew brought there, and that we are to trust the Lord and his word. And my message this morning is based on Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. That trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, that is a lovely portion of scripture, and it flows so very easily from the tongue, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's just sort of, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It just sounds so lovely, and it flows so easily. But how many of us know that that is not always quite so easy to do? You know, many times we pray for certain things, and as we pray, we sort of say, oh Lord, you know, and we mean it, and we sort of give it over to the Lord. And then we say, Lord, we trust you, we'll leave it with you, and we won't lift it up again. We won't come back to it again. We just leave it for you to sort out. But that is very easy to say, but much harder to do, because most of the time, you know, we say that, but in the back of our mind, we keep on thinking about it. We keep on going about it. And in this day and age, you know, we are so used to having everything we want instantly. You know, you just pick up the phone and you order something and it is there the next day or the following day. You go to the computer, you want some answers. You type something in, and up comes the answer. But, you know, how easy is that all for us? Like, and so, because of that, we have lost the art of waiting. You know, we've just lost the art of waiting because everything is laid on for us. It's there. On the spur of the moment, you can have virtually whatever you want. But, you know, it doesn't quite work like that with the Lord. You know, you pray, and, well, what happens is that you expect an answer. But we expect it, if not straight away, at least by tomorrow. And if it doesn't come by tomorrow, well, a week is a long time. And so we start to sort of think, now a month goes by. What happens? We start to rationalize in our mind. We start to think, oh, well, maybe it wasn't the Lord's will for us to have this. We may have been praying for healing and nothing has happened. And we start to rationalize that, hey, maybe, Lord, you know, you don't want me to get healed. And we know that that is not so because his word declares that, you know, Jesus went to the cross and he bore all of our infirmities, all of the sicknesses, that by his stripes we are healed. So it is so easy to fall back and to start rationalizing with your own natural mind. Would I be right in saying that? Or am I the only one to do that? But, you know, but the trouble is, though, that once we fall back to start thinking with our natural mind, we start getting into doubt and unbelief, aren't we? Because our natural mind will not hang on to the things of God. Because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that we will never perceive the things of God with our natural minds, for the things of God are foolishness to our natural mind. So how can our natural mind ever work out the things of God? They can't, isn't it? And so spiritual things can only be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And we find that in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That we might know what? The blessings and the benefits that God has planned to give to us freely. For we in ourselves, we have a lack of spiritual insight. And so we need the Spirit to tell us what is going on. Now, I have a piece of paper the wrong way around, and that doesn't help when you want to look at something. But we need the Spirit of God to reveal to us the secrets of God. Would you be right in saying that? Because I know that before I was born again, I certainly wasn't, I might have received some spirits, but I certainly weren't the spirits of the Lord, I tell you. And I must admit, sometimes that did make me happy. But then when I woke up the next day, I wasn't feeling quite so happy. But to be able to be fully trust God, you first of all need to know him. Know what he is. Know how God will operate for you in all situations. And I like to have a quick look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And it tells us that bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now that is a tremendous passage of scripture. But again, unless we know the promises of God, how can we benefit from them? If we don't know God, if we don't know his promises, if we don't know how God is going to operate in our lives, how can we ever lay hold of his benefits? How can we ever get the benefits out of his promises? Because we just, if we don't know, we can't receive. And so, we need to know that God is true to his word in all situations. And that God will do what he will do. Like he says, you know, what God says he will do, he will do. For God is not a liar. God doesn't lie. So if we take his promises in his word, we got to believe them. We got to stand on them. And we got to say, this is the word of the Lord. And that came forth from Matthew today. And we got to hang on to that and believe them and trust them and stand on them. Because if we don't, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. And verse 5 of Proverbs. In chapter 3, exhort us to not lean on our own understanding. And verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Well, that is a very good saying, because how very often do we think we know more than God? Because, you know, he tells us to do something and we think, well, that is totally illogical. You know, I can't understand this. That doesn't make sense to me. And, but you know, what does it say? Now, if the Bible exhorts us not to lean on our own understanding or on our natural wisdom in the things of God, then who or what are we to lean on? Who are we to turn to for understanding, for wisdom, to perceive the things of God? And there is only one, isn't it? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, for Jesus is the power and wisdom of God to us. And I like to look that up and read that out of 1 Corinthians 1, 24 to 31, where it says, "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Here it says, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, and not in his own wisdom, not fall back on your own wisdom." You know, Jesus Christ is to us the saving power of God. For in Jesus we have salvation, and we cannot get it from any other one. We cannot get it to any other source. So many people out in the world, they run here, they run there, they run all over the place, and they seek, and they seek, and they seek, and they seek, but they never find. They never find. Yet they think they have, but when it all comes to the end, they miss out. They miss out because Jesus is the only name by which we can be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Okay. Well, Jesus is to us the gift of wisdom. He is a gift. Jesus is a gift from the Father to us for salvation, but also for wisdom. For through our reliance upon Jesus, we are given all the wisdom necessary to understand the mysteries of God. Written in the Bible, "Mystery is no longer to them that accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, but which will remain mysteries and foolishness forever to them who reject Jesus as Lord." But we have the mind of Christ. But the people out in the world, they haven't got the mind of Christ. And so lots of times, if you start talking about Jesus and all that and what Jesus does and all that, it's foolishness to them. And I've been told that straight to my face. Oh, you know, you believe that sort of rubbish, that's all foolishness, that's just, you know. But, and I must admit that a lot of things, even though I was brought up in a church setting, but I wasn't at all saved, and a lot of things to me too, when I heard it, didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But I tell you what, as soon as Jesus came into my life, things changed drastically, tremendously, on the spot. One day I was one man, the next day I was another person. And then things started to happen that I had absolutely no wisdom in my own strength to combat it. Because the Lord started talking to me, well, the first thing he started talking to me was about tithing. You know, and I was sort of working away and I had a stack of bills about that high. And one night I woke up and I was laying in bed. And the Lord started talking to me about tithing. And I said, "Lord," I said, "you know, I can't afford to pay the bills now." I said, "How am I going to afford the bills if I'm going to tithe?" I said, "I just can't do it." But again it came, "I want you to tithe." And I said, all right. So I went around in my mind, and in the end I said, "Okay, Lord, well, it seems rather stupid to me, but anyhow, I'll do what you asked me to do. I'll start tithing, but then you have to pay the bills because I can't pay the bills now. So I'll give all my bills to you. You've got to pay the bill. So the next day I go to work, and at the time I was earning $250 a week. Yeah, that's right. Yep. And now $250, right? So 10% is $25. That's rather simple. Very, very good arithmetic. 10%, 250 is $25. So I'm working away and I'm saying, okay, Lord, from now on $25, that's yours, that's time. Beckett comes to me, $20. And I'm saying, no, Lord, that's not right. That's silly. That doesn't work out. 10% of 250 is $25. Now, I argued a point with him all day long that, you know, $20 was not 10%. Anyhow, so I get home that night, and I said to Mary, my wife at the time, I said, you know, the Lord's asked me to tithe, and I've had to fight with him all day today. I said, because I keep on saying, well, 10% of $250 is $25. But he keeps saying, $20. And then she said, I have something to tell you. She said, I was never going to tell you before because you would have exploded because you didn't believe in it. She said, but I've been tithing $5 every week. So that made $25. Made perfect sense once the Lord revealed that to me. But it was foolishness to me before that. You know? So we need to perceive the things of God. And, you know, well, I could go through a few things that it seems illogical at the time when the Lord asked you to do things. The Lord asked me to take one of my sons, the youngest one, out of the school he was in and to put him in Mount Evelyn Christian Fellowship school there. And I didn't know anything about it, but I did. So I followed his prompting and I went to the school and there was absolutely no openings. There was just nothing there, And we seen the headmaster there or the principal. And he's saying to me, oh, well, you know, no, it's not possible. It's just not possible. And I said, well, the Lord has told me to be here. So I said, well, I'm here. And he said, well, but it's just not possible. And I said, oh, well, but I can't help it, but I'm here. Anyhow, after a bit, all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, hang on a minute. So he goes out the door, he comes back in, and he says, okay, your son can start in February. And so that came open, but that also cost a lot of money. Now, I didn't have no money. And so when the first payment came up for his school, the first quarter, I said, well, Lord, we're in a bit of a pickle here because I've got no money. And so he didn't answer anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, no, I'll take care of it. I had no money. But I felt in my heart to go and visit somebody, and I had never been to that person's place before, ever. I went there, and I knew him, but I'd never been to his place, and I was sort of talking to him, and he said, do you want a beer, Frank? And I said, no, I don't drink anymore. The Lord has told me not to, and he looked at me rather stupid. And so we sort of talking away, but he kept talking about this boat that he had, and he had this boat for sale. And he said, do you know anybody who might want to buy this boat? And I said, no. I said, no idea, you know. And he kept on talking about this boat, and in the end I got a little bit fed up with it, you know. And just as I was about to go home, he said to me, come outside the back. Come and have a look at the boat. Come and have a look at this boat. And there's this little boat, not a big one, standing on this trailer. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, well, that's a boat. You know? So what? And so just to pacify him, I said, oh, well, I'll listen around, and if somebody wants to buy it, I'll let you know. I turn around, and the Lord says, buy it. And I said, what? Lord, you want me to buy that boat? I've got no money now. And he said, buy that boat. So I just had enough money in the bank to buy that boat. So I bought the boat. So I went home, and here again, I said, came in, and I said, guess what? I bought a boat. Well, what are you going to do with that? I said, I don't know. And now I'm saying, and then I go to the Lord and I'm saying, now, Lord, you know, now we're in a real pickle because I bought the boat. I had no money, not enough to pay the bill before, Well, now I've got no money. So now what I'm going to do? Anyhow, I went to work the next day, or a couple of days later. I was talking to this chappy at work, who was actually a friend of mine. And I'm telling him about this boat and this trailer and all the rest of it. And he says, I'll come around tonight, have a look at this boat of yours. So he came around, it was only a little tinny type of thing, it was nothing special. And then yeah, he looked at it and he said, he said, I'll buy it off you. And so he offered me a price and said, yeah, fair enough, because I didn't think it was worth all that much either. So that was half the price. So now I had half the money to pay the bill, but they still left me X amount short. And a few days later at work, we started talking about we really need a trailer to carry all the water pipes around the paddocks rather than carry them on our shoulders and all the rest of it. So we talked about it, and I talked to my boss about it, and he said, oh, yeah, he said, well, we'll have to look around for a trailer that we can sort of convert into a thing. And I said, fancy that. I said, I've got one like that at home. So he finished up buying it, and you know what? I had enough to pay the bill, and I had a little bit of money left over. And now it seems so illogical, doesn't it? But you know, but that's how the Lord works. We've got to be obedient. When the Lord asks us to do something, we've got to step out in faith. And sometimes it's very difficult to do because, you know, it might sound as if you... it all sounds great when you relay it like that, but when you're actually going through it, it's not so good. Another time I was standing at work and I was filling my car. I had a company car, and I was standing there filling it up with petrol, and I see along the Sylvan Road, one of Tesla's trucks was standing there, and it had up, now I was working for Tesla's at the time, and had a big for sale sign on it, and I thought, oh, that'll be a nice truck for somebody, like, you know. And I didn't think any more when I'm filling up. And I looked again at the truck and filling up. And the Lord says to me, buy it. I said, what? Buy a truck? What am I going to do with a truck? So anyhow, I thought, well, you know, if that's what you want, Lord, that's what I'll do. So I bought a truck. And now I'm the proud owner of a truck. I've got it standing at home, not a clue what I'm going to do with it. But it stood there, and it stood there, and it was a good truck. But in the inside, like the flower trucks have been knocked about a bit, so I lined it all out with Bernie board and all that, so it looked a good truck. Well, in the end, the Lord had me shift up to Queensland to help Jack Coy for quite some time. I had a truck. I shifted put all my furniture on it. Shifted up to Queensland all myself, didn't cost me a cent. I was there for a year, tried to sell the truck about three times, and every time I was stopped from selling the truck for different reasons. It never happened. At the end of the year, the Lord said, your work is done. I want you to go back to Melbourne. I put everything back in the truck, back to Melbourne, sold the truck for the same price I bought it for. Yeah, now, it all seems so illogical. Doesn't it? Like when you first come across that. But if you're obedient, the Lord works it out. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And I haven't got a clue why I'm going all this way. But anyhow, it's just to just show you that hey, we need to be obedient. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to our own understanding. And in all our ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct our paths. Even though sometimes it might seem a totally different way than we think we ought to go or whatever. Hallelujah. 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 Well, all who are saved are new spiritual creatures who appraises all things from a spiritual viewpoint, don't we? We sort of do that nowadays. And praise God, we should approach all of Scripture with a teachable spirit, not just some parts that we like and some parts that we don't like, but that we approach all of Scripture with a teachable spirit, calling on Jesus, who to us is the wisdom of God, to give us insight and understanding of His Word, to rely on the Spirit of God to reveal, to teach, and to lead us in the right way. Because it's so easy to go off on the wrong way. And we need the Spirit of God to keep us on the right way. Hallelujah. And I would like to read for you, and you know, within the Bible, chapter 3 of Proverbs, the first 10 verses, because that is where there are so many good things for us. Proverbs 3. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. And so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, what a tremendous passage of scripture that is. Well, I've got written down here, if you have a look at verse 1 and 2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandment. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So we can look forward to a long and peaceful life. The Lord promises too, divine favor with God and men in verses 3 and 4. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Verse 5 and 6, we've already been there. Long life, godly guidance and directions. Verse 4, verses 7 and 8. And it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Good health, it's promised to us. It's promised to us. And then it goes on to say, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. What a tremendous portion of scripture that is. You know, they come with conditions. If you do that, this is what will follow. So in just those 10 verses of scripture, you can sort of virtually, if you follow all of that, you'll have a good life. You'll have a tremendous life. You know? And sometimes we tend to overlook the simpler things and we look at the, oh, we have to do this and have to do that. But it is just laid out here what we need to do to have a good and fulfilling life. Praise the Lord. I really sort of covered most of what I wanted to cover today, and I pray that it may be a bit of a help to you, that, you know, not to lean on your own understanding, but to trust the Lord in all the things, you know. But the key to so many things too is obedient. Be obedient to his word. If he gives you a word and you know that you know that you know that you know that you know it is from the Lord, do it. Do it. I have proven it. And you only will ever find out if you step out. If you never step out, it'll never happen. Or you'll never, like, the Lord doesn't ask you to do, you know, huge things at first. He'll ask you a little bit and you'll be obedient to that. He asks you a bit more. And that way you learn to trust him. You learn to rely on him. Well, I have to tell you one more. I can't resist. Because that was a big thing for me at the time. My son, again, like, you know, I was married and I had five kids, no matter whether they're this age or that age, they cost a lot of money to maintain. Anyhow, I got a bonus this time. It was near, sort of the end of the financial year, and I got a bonus. And it was $2,000. Now, going back, say, 20 years ago, $2,000 was a lot of money. Now, I had a sister living in Switzerland, and I hadn't seen her for 40 years, just about. And so my heart's desire was to see her. And I'd been praying, Lord, I really want to go to Switzerland. I want to go and see my sister, like, you know, because she's getting older and blah, blah, blah. Lord, that's really my desire. So now I get $2,000. And I thought, great, that'll go a long way towards a trip to Switzerland. Next Sunday, I'm sitting in church, and there's a lady sitting about three seats in front of me. I know her, I knew her. And the Lord said, I want you to give the $2,000 to her. And I said, and I'm not hearing this. I am not hearing this. This is definitely my own mind. This is not of God. It can't be of God. I've been praying now. I've got $2,000, so this can't be of God. So anyhow, but again, give her the $2,000. But I wasn't at all sure of that one at all. So you know how when you get into a spot of bother with the Lord that you start praying very, very sanctimoniously. I really started praying that whole week. I'm praying sanctimoniously, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking, but he's not saying anything. Yeah? And I'm thinking, now, Lord, okay, now, how about if I give a half? I mean, you know, that's fair. Now, if I give a half, like, you know, and I'll keep half, you know, and because, you know, that's a lot of money. And I'm praying, and I'm saying, now, Lord, what do you reckon? And I got one word. And one word only. That was on the Friday, about 7 o'clock. And one word. All. That's all he said. But he didn't say anything else. All. So I went out and I said to my wife, I said, well, I said, the Lord told me to give such and such to Hazel. And if we're going to do it, I'm going to do it right now. So we jumped in the car. We were Mumbulk and Hazel lived in Croydon. So I came there, knocked on the door, and Hazel and Tom were there, and I said, Hazel, I'm here because the Lord has told me to give you $2,000, and if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So I give her the $2,000, and with that, she goes into raptures. She goes totally bonkers. Unbeknownst to me, she is going to India on a mission trip, like a missionary trip. She has to have $2,000 by 9 o'clock on Saturday morning at the travel agency, otherwise no go. And I walk in about, say, what, by that time it's probably about nearly 9 o'clock on the Friday night. So, you know, okay, that's great. Now, she's very happy, everybody's happy, and people are going to get blessed, but where am I going? Where am I going? Lost me $2,000. No trip to Switzerland, as far as I know, now. And so about maybe 4 weeks later, on the most five, all of a sudden at work, something came up about a new technique of growing tulips that they had in Europe, especially in Holland. And so from there, it was decided that, hey, I should go to Holland. That I'll pay for, like, you know, I should go to Holland and look into it and learn this new technique. So I mentioned that my sister lives in Switzerland, so never mind, Frank, we will pay for that too, like, you know. So I went to Holland, a side trip to Switzerland. Everything was laid on for me in Holland. Everything was paid for. Everything. Now, the night before I went, my boss called me in and he said, you got everything ready, Frank? Everything settled? Everything done? I said, yes, thank you very much. And he said, okay. And he threw me a big roll of notes. And he said, that's for you. He said, because you might want to buy people dinner or this or that or that. He said, put it in your pocket. He said, and, you know, that's yours to spend. He said, whatever from the traveling money, expenses, I need to know. The rest, he said, that's, you know, for you to do with whatever you like. But also, all I had was a little box camera, You know, one of those little box things. And that's all I had. Now, they bought the latest technique camera so that I could take all the photos I wanted for work, like, you know, but at the same time for myself. I went as the king's kid. Honestly, I went, everything was laid on. Everything. And that was because I gave $2,000 away. And yet the Lord, look, everything that I went, I could have never afford it. I would have gone as a poor man. I would have got there, but as a poor man. This time I went as a king's kid. Everything was laid on. Everything. And I thank the Lord so much, like, you know. And so that's why I really want to exhort you today to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. And I want to close on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. All I want to say is that if anybody wants prayer for anything, this is the place to be. This is the place to be. So if anybody has a need, either physical, mentally, emotionally, financially, we'll pray and we'll stand with you. Hallelujah. 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 If anybody has a need, if you come forward, I'd love to pray with you. And I'll get you to pray with me as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I have to do this as well, don't I? You are all dismissed. But instead of all racing out the back door, why don't you race all to that door and we all have a lovely cup of tea or coffee together? I think that's a lot better. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now,
thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.